We are joined right now by a World Series champion, 17-year Major League vet. He was an all-star. He is an MLB Network analyst right now. He is the president of the Cliff Floyd Foundation. MLB Network has live coverage before and after every LCS and World Series game, including MLB Tonight, which is live from Yankee Stadium at 6 p.m. My guest is Cliff Floyd. Cliff, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Good, man. How you been?
Good, good, man. I'm great. And let me ask you first about postseason baseball. Before we get into the details of the ALCS and then the World Series, as a player, how different is postseason baseball from regular season baseball? Like, it seems pretty self-evident, but do guys feel pressure on every pitch and every play? Or once the game starts, Cliff, is it just baseball, just another game?
Yeah, you hit it on the head. I mean, you know, there's so much preparation that goes into it, Jim, and I think the biggest thing is just slowing the game down. I think everybody talks about that, and you know how much information you know you take in, what you can sort of take out, you know, before you get ready to play, right? Like I can get so much information on Zach Greinke and Tanaka, but at some point you have to eliminate all that stuff and go out there and play. So, you know, I know what his out pitch is, or I know some of the things I have to do defensively. And then either you make adjustments on the fly, and then you get on deck circle and you make adjustments as you see fit. That's the most important thing, is being able to separate those and then go out there and ball, you know, come game time.
Cliff Floyd is joining us. Exactly right. So the Yankees are down 2-1 in the series. If they lose tonight, obviously they're down 3-1, and then they have to deal with Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole coming up next. How much pressure then is there on the Yankees to get this done tonight?
There's a ton of pressure on them. And I think that's why I was a little taken back that they didn't have their big boy standing in the lineup the other day, for the simple fact that you never want to go down 2-1, especially at home, even though you get 3 at home, for the simple fact of a rainout or some things that's going to derail how things sort of play out. So you have to figure out a way to jump on Greinke tonight early, alleviate some of that pressure, and then play and hopefully win a ball game and tighten this thing up at 2-2. If you let the Astros go up 3-1, I think you and I both know it might be fishing time for the Yanks sooner or later.
Cliff Floyd joining us. Cliff, go back to Stanton for a minute. He's been dealing with injuries. He has not quite been himself. He did not play in the last two games. So what do you make of how things have played out with Stanton in the series so far?
Big fan of his, and I want to see him play. I was saying this earlier as just talking with the homeboys, is, look, Marquise Grissom told me back in the day that if you can go on the field for batting practice and do some of the things that we've seen Stanton do, then you can play. And I'm not, and this is not knowing, you know, the severity of the injury, but you have the luxury of the designated hitter. And if you hit a couple balls small, as we saw him do in game one, then everything else is forgotten. But I just think what, you know, I'm thinking from a player standpoint and how big he is for that lineup and how he can lengthen that lineup. And he is a beast when he's in that box swinging the bat the way we've seen him swing it. So, you know, I play with a lot of injuries. I know it's never easy, and I know everyone is different. But if I'm on that team walking through those doors as his teammate, I want to see him in that lineup because I know once swinging the bat, we back in this thing.
We are talking to Cliff Floyd. That's true, Cliff. When you played, you dealt with a lot of injuries in your career. You battled through a lot of injuries like a warrior. And then the series itself, Cliff, there's been a lot of talk about the notion of tipping pitches, stealing signs. If you put the series aside for a moment, where do you come out on that? Do you see the difference, or what is the difference between somebody tipping pitches and somebody stealing signs?
Well, I mean, again, I'm talking strictly from a player perspective. If I can get a edge that way, you damn straight I'm going to get it. If I can get any edge that's going to give me a chance to go in that box and feel better, I'm going to get it. I played with a guy at the end of my career that I wish I had early in my career, Sean Green. He was one of the best at being able to figure out what a guy was going to do, as far as he was tipping or not. He did it every night. He had a book on it. He gifted it to somebody when he left the game. These are things that players do every single day. That hasn't changed. You can talk about old school, new school. It ain't changed, Jim. It ain't going to never change, because if you out there on the mound and you're doing something that's going to allow yourself to be in a position where we have an advantage, we're going to take it. I think that's just the nature of the game. As far as stealing signs, again, it goes with the territory. If your catcher is going to sit there and allow signs to be given, I think teams are going to take advantage of it. You see a lot of teams go against the grain and do different things as far as hand signals and so on and so forth. That's them thinking outside the box, going along with how they have seen certain teams play. And I don't know one team that's not trying to get an edge to win a ball game.
I appreciate that response, 100%. Cliff Floyd's joining us. You know, then you get this thing about, all right, it's one thing to try and pick signs, and some guys are really good at that, like you said, Sean Green, for instance. And then there's, like, how do you relay that information? There's the report from Game 1 that there was a whistling sound, Cliff, from the Astros dugout, and the Yankees took issue with that, believing that they were using the whistling to alert Astros hitters and that that's over the line. So, I mean, is there a line to be drawn there? Can you relay the signs but not whistle the signs? Where does whistling fit into the code?
Well, I think you can go too far. There is definitely a line. I don't know to the extent that people go, and obviously they'll go to any extent to get that edge. But if you cross that line, you know, there's repercussions to that. But I don't like Jim, again, this is me saying or being, you know, in a position where back in the day, if I'm just throwing a name out there, Hall of Famer Mike Piazza, if he set up early, some guys figured out a way to get that signal that this fastball was going to be inside. So what I'm telling you is everything, you know, in perspective, it's all in the game. It's moving fast. Everything's moving so fast that I somehow or another, you're going to have to step out. Somebody's going to have to make a point of it, and then, you know, maybe it stops. I don't know how that goes or how that situation plays out, but if whistling is going on, then somebody's going to have to step off the mound, holler at the umpire, and go, this ain't right, or whatever the case may be. You can't be putting guys on base and hitting guys and making them pay. That's not the repercussion I'm talking about. It has to be to the point where the game slows down, the game stops, and everybody's looking like, what the heck is going on?
We're talking to Cliff Floyd. Now, Cliff, you mentioned Marquise Grissom. You played with the Expos, and you were part of that now legendary 1994 Expos team. So moving to that for a minute, what's your reaction when you see the Nationals in the World Series? Like, as an Expo, do you feel a connection to this team?
You really do. I swear you do. And, you know, I look at so many you know, different things that have happened with this Nats team that, you know, I go back to my Expo days and us missing an opportunity to go to 94 postseason and do some special things that I thought our team was going to do. But just looking at how far they've come, you know, everybody talks about them 19-31 during the early part of the season and so on and so forth. But it's about how you finish. And I've always heard that from the time I got into the league to right now, Jim, it's about how you finish, man. Nobody remembers how you start. Yeah, it was a thought, but it becomes an afterthought when you ball and get to where the Nationals are. So you can start and you can set it down and bring the U-Haul boxes in there and pack up and go home, or you can keep fighting and know that you paid these starting pitchers, a hefty payday, you know, to go out there and continue to pitch. And it all worked out. They figured out the bullpen. They figured out how to get guys in there consistently to go do their job. They got the old vets, the Howie Kendricks and the Ryan Zimmermans, to go out there and ball and get healthy. And when you do that, you're going to pound teams at some point to be in a position where you get hot late, and then you can ride that wave to the World Series, and that's what the Nats have done. So hats off to them, man, for staying the course and dealing with that adversity, because every team deals with adversity. It's how you come out of it. It what makes you a beast.
Cliff Floyd joining us. You mentioned Cliff, Howie Kendrick, that guy. Is he not a pro's pro? Is that not the, like, proverbial example of a guy who can roll out of the rack, swinging the bat? When you watch him go about his work, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Man, it gives you chills. It really does, because I've dealt with the Achilles. It's nothing to play with. It literally takes you to a place where you see the end before you want to end, man. You see him taking that jersey off your back before you want to give him that jersey. And, you know, to hear Howie say, you know, if I didn't sign that 2-year deal, where would he be at his age and how the game has changed and evolved into this younger generation? But to see him doing his thing and balling the way he's balling makes the hair stick up on my arm, because I know exactly what he's going through to fight to get back. Your feet, your knees, your legs, everything goes through that Achilles, and how it hangs, you know, how it stays together. If that don't get right, you're done. So to see him bounce back and be an absolute stud for David Martinez, to fight his way to get in that lineup every day, hats off to him. And hopefully the game takes notice to how many guys balled out this year over age 30. Nelly Cruz named at the top.
Cliff Floyd is joining us. Now, Cliff, I'm about to get on an airplane, so it makes me think of something you tweeted earlier this month. Quote, "Hey, United, thanks for opening my bag and not closing it back. You ruined some nice things. Also appreciate your customer service dropping a, oh, that's terrible. We're sorry, but how about going to the store and buying some bleep y'all ruined? Hashtag, I'm being sarcastic. I'm pissed." Cliff, you're not the kind of guy to jump on Twitter and vent. Something bad must have went down. Can you lay it out for us? What happened that day?
Jay, my bag comes out. You know, I was fortunate enough to get, you know, priority. So my stuff comes around the belt, and I look at my bag. I'm like, yo, that looks weird. Like, so I'm on the other side, so my bag is literally going past people, and people are looking at it like, yo, that bag is wide open. My bag was halfway open with joggers, and I'm going to lay the name out. I got Hugo Boss joggers in there. I got Louis Vuitton joggers in there, and I had obviously some nice T-shirts in there. And my bag is half open with my joggers hanging out, coming around the belt. Get my bag. I'm so mad. Like I'm actually talking to myself, right? But I'm cursing. And I'm talking to myself. I get my bag off. I go to customer service, which is right there at the Fort Lauderdale Airport, right on belt number one. I go in, and what ticked me off is how she handled that. It's just she shrugged her shoulders and was like, "Yo, sorry." Like she didn't say like, "That's terrible. They should do something about this. This is absolutely, this is absolutely absurd." Whatever the case may be, I don't care what she could have said. So now I'm really getting back into that moment. And I look at her, I go, "No, you don't understand. I was in priority, so my bag's going to come out first. Like, didn't somebody see this when they put it on the plane? Like, who opened the bag? I mean, I'm going through so many different scenarios." And she goes, "I'm sorry, sir. You just got to call this 1-800 number, and hopefully they can do something to help you." That's why I went on Twitter with the tirade. I had no intention of going there, but if you want to handle me like that, your customer service, and we're going above and beyond to sit in first class and do the whole priority thing, then you're really not sincere about how y'all handle that. And I wasn't sincere about what I wrote. They go on my DMs, go back and forth. They give me some voucher for future first class, blah, 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 and some about, I think they gave me $400, Jim, off a future flight. That's it.
So. Did that make you feel any better?
I went down.
Hey, Cliff, I don't know for certain. I wasn't there, but I'm pretty certain. In fact, I can guarantee it. That bag did not open itself, Cliff. There's no way it did.
You feel me?
I know you.
It didn't. So if you're going through it, I mean, that was my thing to lay. I'm like, yo, you mean to tell me from the time I left Newark to Fort Lauderdale and how many people hounded this bag, nobody saw this bag, not just a little bit open, Jim, where you can get maybe a sock out. I'm talking half the bag.
Dude, I'm shocked there was anything left in that bag. You know, I feel you, Cliff. I knew something went down. If you're going to jump on Twitter with that, I knew something went down. And by the way, she was not sorry that it happened. She was sorry that she had to talk to you about that. Let's not confuse those two things.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
I see you working.
And you know what? She's sitting behind a desk, and that's how they handle it. They give out numbers. Keep it moving.
Man.
You ain't the first, and definitely ain't going to be the last one come through here. So keep it moving. I don't deal with that here.
He is an MLB Network analyst. I feel you. A World Series champion, all-star, a 17-year Major League vet. MLB Network has got live coverage before and after every LCS and World Series game, including MLB Tonight live from Yankee Stadium at 6 p.m. Cliff, you are the best. It is so good to have you back on, man. I appreciate it so much.
My man. Appreciate you. Safe travels.
You too, Cliff. Thank you, man. Me too. And you're the guy I'm going to be looking for if I have any of these issues today. Cliff Floyd. Man, why would you mess with his bag? He's not bothering anybody. Cliff is minding his own business. He's got somewhere he's going to be. I guarantee that bag did not open itself.